اللهم اجعلنا جميعا بالخيار جنا جنا صدقيات شخص اسم لتان لين تسمع سيه لبين مها سوي شيطان يمر بيستام ستفيتام لين بوتلي سايام روبا كلام ايام دداتي شافن اندي كام ونش كوبا توبس جاك روبا سندو باي بسا بكي ترم بابدنه بيو بيشن بيشن مولما After the churning of the ocean of milk, and after the Lord took on the form of Mohini, Mohini Murti, the form of Mohini, beautiful, most beautiful of women. When the Supreme Lord takes that form, as He is all attractive, she is all attractive. So He assumed that form, and by the potency of that form, bewildered the demons into giving up the amrita that they had worked so hard, the nectar they had worked so hard to gain, and they it was given by the Lord in that form to the demigods. The demons became very angry. They attacked the demigods. There was a battle ensued, and then by the grace of the Lord who appeared there on the back of Garuda, the demons were subdued, and then Balimara was more or less killed, and the demons were killed by Indra using his thunderbolt, but then they were brought back to life by the potency of Sukracharya, his Sanjivani mantra, bringing them back to life. So now, for two chapters, 14 actually, 12, 13, 14, we take a break from that story, that pastime. And in chapter 12, we will hear more about the Mohini Murti, because we may think that that form was so powerful, it can bewilder demons. But actually, when the Lord assumes that form, His potency is so great, whatever He wants really to happen will happen, and everyone is under His control. Even Lord Shiva, during the churning of the ocean of milk, Lord Shiva was called upon to drink up the poison which had been churned first after the or before the amrita, the nectar, was churned. Poison came out, and Lord Shiva was called upon by the demigods to drink up that poison, and he did that. He was so powerful, and before that they praised him in their request to ask him in that way. They praised him as if he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Why? Because it is the Lord's potency that is working through him. But Lord Shiva, although Vaishnavanam Yatai Shambhu is the greatest of Vaishnavas and so powerful that he enacts the destruction of the universe, and he is an avatar, the guna avatar of Tamagun. He's an avatar of the mode of ignorance, and he is Shambhu, the potency of the Lord, as the universe is impregnated, and he causes the destruction of the entire universe. Yet, although he is fully worshipable, he is not the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He too, Ekala Ishwara Krishna, Arsabhavritta. There is only one Supreme. Sarvakarana Karanam Govinda Maripurisa. Matat parataram na anyat aham savasya prabhavo mataksavam pravadite. Krishna stu bhagavan sayam. So now we're going to see how even Lord Shiva is bewildered by this Mohini Murti potency of the Lord. So if anyone was thinking that he was the Supreme because the demigods prayed to him in that way, we'll see here clearly who is the Supreme. So text 1 and 2. Sukadeva Goswami said, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, in the form of a woman captivated the demons and enabled the demigods to drink the nectar. After hearing of these pastimes, Lord Shiva, who was carried by a bull, went to the place where Madhusudan, the Lord, resides. Accompanied by his wife Uma and surrounded by his companions, the ghosts, Lord Shiva went there to see the Lord's form as a woman. The Supreme Personality of Godhead welcomed Lord Shiva and Uma with great respect, and after being seated comfortably, Lord Shiva duly worshipped the Lord and smilingly spoke as follows. Lord Mahadev said, O chief demigod amongst the demigods, O all-pervading Deva Deva, in the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord is called Deva Deva Jagatpate. O all-pervading Lord, Master of the universe, by your energy, you are transformed into the creation. So these prayers will describe the Lord and his relationship to the material energy, relationship with the jivas as well. So all-pervading Lord, first quality of the Lord, you're all-pervading, you're everywhere. Master of the universe, second quality. You're the master, the controller of the universe. By your energy, you are transformed into the creation. So that means there is nothing separate from him. Nothing is separate from him. The material energy, although we are not pantheists, and we don't say that the material energy, although it's God, it is as worshipable as he is, the Supreme. But yet, it is none different from him. It is not identical with him, but it is none different from him. It is not separate from him. By your energy, you are transformed into the creation. You are the root and efficient cause of everything. At the root, the ultimate cause, it is you, inseparable from the material energy. You are not material. So although the material is you, you are not material. Indeed, you are the super soul or supreme living force of everything. You are the essence, the living force. Therefore, you are Parameshwara, the supreme controller of all controllers. So this is who he's speaking to, the Supreme Lord Madhusudan. Text 5. The manifest, the unmanifest. So this is talking about the material creation. The manifest, the unmanifest, false ego, and the beginning, maintenance, and annihilation of the cosmic manifestation all come from you. Because in the second and third cantos of the Bhagavatam, we have heard much about the creation. And it starts with the Lord as Karanadaksha Vishnu, then the Pradhan, then Prakriti, and then that was by the glance of the Lord, which contains the living entities, their karma, the time factor. And then by the potency of the Lord, the living entities are injected into the womb of material energy, and then it transforms into the Mahatattva. And then gradually from the Mahatattva, transforms into three degrees of false ego in the mode of passion, ignorance, and goodness. And that reacts, false ego reacts with that, and then gradually the whole universe is manifest. But at the first, at the unmanifest stage, the unmanifest stage, the manifest stage, the false ego, the beginning, the maintenance and annihilation, and then it's created. This is all going on by the under the supervision of the Lord, Maya Dakshina Prakriti, Suyate Satcharacharan, it is maintained by him, and then ultimately is destroyed by him, Bhutva Bhutva Praliyate. All comes from you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Lord Shiva is giving us a glimpse of the power of this person who he's speaking to. But because you are the absolute truth, the supreme absolute spirit soul, the supreme Brahman, such changes as birth, death, and sustenance do not exist in you. So you are not born, you do not maintain, and you do not die. That is something completely different. That is what happens to the living entities and everything in the material world. So he is everlasting. Text 6. Pure devotees, or great saintly persons who desire to achieve the highest goal in life, and who are completely free from all material desires for sense gratification, engage constantly in the transcendental service of your lotus feet. So this is the perfection of consciousness. In this verse, the word Shreyas Kama is used. Shreyas Kama means persons desiring the ultimate auspiciousness, the ultimate goal of life. So that's pure devotees or great saintly persons. This is what they do, who desire the ultimate auspiciousness, the best of all possible things. Because everyone desires auspiciousness. But very few people have the knowledge, the purity, the direction, the fortune to understand what true auspiciousness is. Prabhupada's purport. So he's already said, or the verse has said, what they do. They take shelter of his lotus feet, constantly engaging in serving the Lord's lotus feet, giving up all material enjoyment. Purport. One is in the material world when he thinks, I am this body, and everything with reference to my body is mine. Ato griha chetra sutapta vitar janasya moho yam aham amiti. This is a symptom of material life. In the materialistic conception of life, one thinks, this is my house, this is my land, this is my family, this is my state, and so on. But those who are munaya, saintly persons following in the footsteps of Narada Muni, simply engage in the transcendental loving service of the Lord without any personal desire for sense gratification, because their concept of who they are is sarva upadi vinyamuktam. All the external designations are removed until the essence of their existence, who they actually are, is left. So not the body, not identifying themselves with the stage of their life, their body, their country, their this, their that, but identifying who they are as Krishna's. And who is Krishna? He is mine. That is the ultimate realization. But, and therefore they serve him. Anya bilasita sunyam gyanakama anavrita. How do they serve him? With no other desire except to please him. Either in this life or in the next. So not only do they desire to please him in this life, but forever. Not pleasing him in this life so that they can gain something in the sense of gaining either liberation or to become God or to gain a position anywhere. No, not flattery, not business, but love. Thus, they are also absolute because they have no other desires. Being freed from the dualities of material desire, they are called Shreyas Kama. In other words, they are not concerned with dharma, religiosity, art, economic development, or kama, sense gratification. The only concern of such devotees is moksha, liberation. That is their desire. But what kind of moksha? What kind of liberation? If they are serving the Lord to get out of the material world, can they truly be considered desireless? Because mukti mukti siddhi kami, if the desire is mukti, mukti mukti siddhi kami shakali ashanta. Because of desires, that causes lack of peace. So what kind of moksha or liberation is it that they desire? This moksha does not refer to becoming one with the Supreme like the Mayavadi philosophers. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained that real moksha means taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord clearly explained this fact while instructing Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya wanted to correct the word muktipade in Srimad Bhagavatam. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu informed him that there is no need to correct any word in Srimad Bhagavatam. He explained that muktipade refers to the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead who offers mukti and is therefore called Mukunda. So when Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, first he was an impersonalist, and then by the grace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu he became a devotee. So then when he saw in the Bhagavatam the verse Tateyanu kampam susumikshamano bunjane vapmakripavaka parkam ridvadviva purdam vidadana namaste jivatiyo mukti pade sadayabhak. You achieve mukti by giving everything to you. He said, no, this is not correct. Liberation is not sufficient. He wanted to change it from mukti pade to bhakti pade. So on one side, this was incorrect. Why? Because nothing in the Bhagavatam is perfect. But on the other side, it shows how his heart was changed so deeply that even the word mukti at this time, by the time he was a devotee, the desire for liberation was distasteful to him. So that's on one side. On the other side, so that was wonderful. Wonderful. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him, there's also a verse in the second canto, Atra Saga Vishagas Cha, which describes the 10 topics of the Bhagavatam. And it describes Atra Saga Vishagas Cha, Stanam, something stanam uttaya. Manvatara ishanukata narodha mukti asraya. So the 10 topics of the Bhagavatam are described, and the last two, the next to last one, the 9th is mukti, and the 10th is the asraya, which is Krishna, the shelter of all the other 9 topics. So mukti is also being sheltered by the Lord's lotus feet. And therefore the Lord is called Mukunda, the giver of liberation, because he offers. So mukti pade means that the lotus feet, one achieves the lotus feet of he who awards mukti. So it's the name of Krishna. So Mahaprabhu showed this meaning to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. So a pure devotee is not concerned with material things. He is not concerned with religiosity, economic development, or sense gratification. He is interested only in serving the lotus feet of the Lord. So this is what this verse is saying. Pure devotees are great saintly persons who desire to achieve the Shreyas Kama, the highest goal of life, and who are completely free from all material desires for sense gratification, engaged constantly in the transcendental service of your lotus feet. My Lord, Lord Shiva continues, you are the Supreme Brahman, Param Brahma, Param Dham. You are the Supreme Brahman, complete in everything. Being completely spiritual, you are eternal, free from the material modes of nature, and full of transcendental bliss. Indeed, for you there is no question of lamentation. Since you are the supreme cause, the cause of all causes, nothing can exist without you. Yet we are different from you in a relationship of cause and effect. So everything is coming from Krishna. Now Lord Shiva will explain the living entities. And although they come from Krishna, yet they are in a different situation, a different strata, a different tattva, a different energy than the Lord is. We are different from you in a relationship of cause and effect. For in one sense, the cause and effect are different. which implies that in another sense, the cause and the effect are the same. So both are true. The sun is certainly the effect, is the cause of the sunlight. So we say that the sunlight is certainly the same as the sun. It's qualitatively the same. It's made of the same energy. But to say that the sun and the sun are identical is obviously untrue and it's absurd. Even though that they are the same, they are simultaneously not the same. You are the original cause of creation, manifestation, and annihilation, and you bestow benedictions upon all living entities. Everyone depends upon you for the results of his activities, but you are always independent. So that's such an interesting statement that N. Prabhupada will explain it in relationship to devotees in gaining devotional service. The Lord ultimately is independent. We act, and everyone in the world who is pious acts to please the Lord, and the lower levels of piety are to please him, to gain his favor, to gain material rewards. And the devotees try to please him to gain his favor, so he'll look kindly upon us to get a spiritual reward, to go serving him, his lotus feet, out of the material atmosphere. But yet, his awarding those rewards, in doing that, he is not obliged to anything or anyone. This is what Lord Shiva is saying. This is what it means to be God or the Absolute Truth, independent. Who else is independent? No one. Everyone is dependent on someone else or something else. Certainly we're dependent on even the air that we breathe, the food, the water. We're dependent in every way. So therefore, I guess how foolish it is that someone will think that they are God. How utterly foolish, knowing full well that they're dependent on so many things, continuously dependent, continuously controlled, and yet people will say we are God, but we have forgotten. So just ignorance, actually, foolishness and ignorance. Always independent. Prabhupada's purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead says in Bhagavad Gita 9.4, Maya tatamidam sarvam jagaravyaktamurtinam atstani savabhutanim nachamte savastita. By me and my unmanifested form, Krishna says, the entire universe is pervaded. All beings are in me, but I am not in them. Everything is in me, but I am independent and I'm not fully in them. Nothing is separate from me, but everything is separate from me. This explains the philosophy of simultaneous oneness and difference, known as Achintya Bhedabhed. Everything is the Supreme Brahman, the Supreme Person, the Personality of Godhead. Yet the Supreme Person is differently situated from everything. Indeed, because the Lord is differently situated from everything material, he is the Supreme Brahman, the Supreme Cause, the Supreme Controller, Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha. The Lord is the Supreme Cause, and his form has nothing to do with the material modes of nature. The devotee prays, as your devotee is completely free from all desires, your Lordship is also completely free from desires. You are fully independent. Although all living entities engage in your service, you do not depend on the service of anyone. Although this material world is created completely complete by you, everything depends on your sanction. At the time of the creation, everything is going on step by step by step. But yet, it still requires the glance of the Lord, the supervision of the Lord, his potency to make it go on. At every step, not like the deistical clockmaker God who manufactures the clock, winds it up, and then sets it in motion, and then he can do something else, go play golf or something. No, the clock in that example just ticks its way on without the help of the watchmaker. But the universe is not like that. It requires him to maintain it at every moment, at every step. His energy is required. Everything depends on your sanction. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Matya Smitya Gyanam Aponam Cha, remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness comes from you. Nothing can be done independently. Yet you act independently of the service rendered by your servants. Nothing can be done independently. You act independently on the service rendered by your servants. You are free. That's like someone in this world. He has servants who cook for him, who clean for him, and if they're not there, if they leave, he can't exist anymore practically. And everyone is serving Krishna, but he's not that kind of a master. Although everyone is serving him, he is nevertheless independent, not requiring the service of his servants. But on the other hand, the living entities depend on your mercy for liberation. But when you want to give them liberation, you do not depend on anyone else. We need him, and when he decides to give mercy, he doesn't require anything else, any other motivation when his desire is there. Indeed, by your causeless mercy, you can give liberation to anyone. Those who receive your mercy are called Kripa Siddha. To reach the platform of perfection takes many, many lives. Nonetheless, even without undergoing severe austerities, one can attain perfection by your mercy. Devotional service should be unmotivated and free from impediments. This is the position of nira shishaha, or freedom from expectations for results. A pure devotee continuously offers transcendental loving service to you, but you may never nonetheless offer mercy to anyone without depending on his service. Quite interesting. He's completely independent, even of the requirement of the devotees offering service to him before him benedicting them. He can do as he likes, when he likes, to whom he likes. So therefore the devotees, they pray to him, feeling very humble and meek, saying, although I'm not actually a devotee, although I really have no love, although I am trapped by the modes of material nature, still even I can't do any real service, but still you are independent and you are very, very kind-hearted. So please, all I want is one drop of mercy. Ekabindudya. Just one little drop, not so much to ask for you, from you. Just one little bit of mercy thrown in my direction. And of course, one little drop of mercy is sufficient to drown the whole universe in mercy. And that's how the devotees pray, knowing this independent nature of the Lord. He can do as he likes. Lord Shiva continues his prayers. Text 8. My dear Lord, your lordship alone is the cause and the effect. Therefore, although you appear to be two, you are the absolute one. As there is no difference between the gold of a gold ornament and the gold in a mine, there is no difference between cause and effect. Both of them are the same. And in the last verse, the difference is described a little more. This is sameness here. Only because of ignorance do people concoct differences and dualities. You are free from material contamination because everything is none different from Krishna. So when we see something as separate from Krishna, that is actually the definition of Maya, is not. This is illusion, because nothing is separate from Krishna. Nothing can be separate from Krishna, otherwise there's no meaning to his being the absolute truth. So you only because of ignorance do people concoct differences and dualities. You are free from material contamination, and since the entire cosmos is caused by you and cannot exist without you, it is an effect of your transcendental qualities. Thus the conception that Brahman is true and the world is false cannot be maintained. So this is the Prabhupada will explain it in his purport. That the idea that this world is illusion, mithya, or false, cannot be true because falsity cannot come from truth. If we see a rope and mistake it for a snake, there is some falsity in there, but there is more truth in there. Because the falsity, the illusion, is in our perception. But ropes exist and snakes exist. We couldn't mistake the rope for a snake if there was no concept or existence of snakes. Without a concept of snake, how would we be able to mistake the rope for the snake? So how could we mistake the world of illusion, the world, for real if reality didn't exist? So this reality is not the ultimate reality, it's a reflection of the actual reality, just like the rope isn't a snake, but it's like a snake, and therefore it's, in some ways, it's like a snake. It doesn't have a tongue, but the shape doesn't have a soul in it. It doesn't have muscles, it doesn't have scales. But it has the shape that's similar. So due to the parallel elements, we mistake, the mind does something in illusion and fills it in and says, oh, it's a snake, and becomes afraid. So the material world has some parallel elements from the spiritual world, which does exist. But the actual reality exists there. Purport. So that's the conception. Brahma satyam jagat mithya, that the truth is the Brahman or the impersonal is true, and the material world is falsity or illusion is actually, that concept is false. Purport. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says that the living entities are representations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's marginal potency, whereas the various bodies accepted by the living entities are products of the material energy. Thus the body is considered material and the soul is considered spiritual. The origin of them both, however, is the same Supreme Personality of Godhead, as the Lord explains in Bhagavad Gita. So there's the material energy, there's the spiritual energy, and they combine, and everything we see is a combination of those two. Energy implies energetic, a source. Translation: earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. All together, these eight comprise my separated material energy, bina prakritam astada. But beside this inferior energy, O mighty Amda Arjuna, there is a superior energy of mine, which consists of all living entities who are struggling with material nature and are sustaining the universe. Thus both matter and the living entities are manifestations of energy of the Supreme Lord. Since the energy and the energetic are not different, and since the material and marginal energies are both energies of the Supreme Energetic, the Supreme Lord, ultimately the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is everything. In this regard, the example may be given of gold that has not been molded and gold that has been molded into various ornaments. A gold earring and the gold in a mine are different only as cause and effect. The mine is the cause of the jewelry. Otherwise, they're the same. One is the cause and one is the effect, but they're the same, even though they're different. Janmadyasyataha. Everything is born of the Supreme Brahman, from which everything emanates as different energies. None of these energies, therefore, should be considered false. The Mayavadi's differentiation between Brahman and Maya is only due to ignorance. Srimad Vairagava Acharya, in his Bhagavata Chandrika, describes the Vaishnava philosophy as follows. The cosmic manifestation is described as sat and asat, and as chit and achit. Matter is achit, and the living force is chit, conscious, unconscious. But their origin is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in whom there is no difference between matter and spirit. According to this conception, the cosmic manifestation consisting of both matter and spirit is not different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Idam hi Vishvam Bhagavan Evaitaraha. This cosmic manifestation is also the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although it appears different from Him. So Prabhupada is showing through the prayers of Lord Shiva that the Mayavad philosophy is unreasonable. By accepting the words of Lord Shiva as authoritative, therefore the Mayavadi philosophy is being disproved. So important to disprove that, because that tendency, if in the heart, will inhibit our tendency within the heart will inhibit love for Krishna from developing. So avoid Mayavad philosophy. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, Maya tatamidam savam jagaravyakta mutina matstani savabhutani natchaham teshvavastita. By me in my unmanifested form, this entire universe is pervaded. All beings are in me, but I am not in them. Thus, so Prabhupada has already quoted this in the last verse or so. Now he's quoting it again. There and not there, in the last verse in 7, simultaneously. Thus, although someone may say that the Supreme Person is different from the cosmic manifestation, actually he is not. The Lord says, Mayeti tamidam savam. In my impersonal feature, I am spread throughout the world. Therefore, this world is not different from Him. The difference is a difference in names. For example, when we speak of gold earrings, gold bangles, or gold necklaces, ultimately they're all gold. In a similar way, all the different manifestations of matter and spirit are ultimately one in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So how important this is, otherwise it would not be stressed again and again, that there is nothing separate from Him. Therefore, devotees treat everything and everyone respectfully, seeing everything as Krishna's. But one needs really clear spiritual vision to do this. But not that everything is Krishna, but everything is Krishna's, and therefore the proper use of everything is to use it in His service. Not that everything is not different from Krishna, so we can do arti to the floor and the table, and we can't step on it, and where are we going to walk? Can't walk in the air even, because the air is also non-different from Krishna. Can't touch our feet to anything. Cut them off. But our feet are also not different from Krishna. What to do? So not in that sense, but our feet and the table and the air and the floor and everything else, being non-different from Krishna, should be used in His service. This is the Vedic version. Ekam eva dvittayam brahma. This is the Vedic version. That's from the Chandogya Upanishad. There is oneness because everything emanates from the Supreme Brahman. The example already given is that there is no difference between gold, a golden earring, and the gold mind as it is. The Vaisheshika philosophers, however, because of their Mayavad conception, create differences. They say Brahma Satyam, Jagan Mitya, the absolute truth is real and the cosmic manifestation is false. But why should the Jagat be considered Mitya or false? The Jagat is an emanation from Brahman, therefore the Jagat is also a truth. But how to use that truth properly? Vaishnavas, therefore, do not consider the Jagat to be Mitya. Rather, they regard everything as reality in connection with the Supreme Personality of God. And again, to separate things from Him, when Brahman, or the spiritual energy, is covered by Maya, or illusion, then matter is there. And that illusion is that feeling of separateness. That's what Maya does. I am separate from God, and everything else is separate from Him. This is Maya, this is illusion. And the process of reconnecting is called yoga. Reconnecting ourselves and everything else, it's a matter of consciousness. Bhakti yoga, we reconnect everything and establish the proper concept of oneness. Rather, they regard everything, the Vaishnavas regard everything in connection with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Anashaktasya vishayanya tartam upayunjataha nirbanda krishna sambandha yukte varagi ujjate papanchika taya bhudya hari sambandhi vastuna mamukshabi prityago varagyam falgu katyate. Things should be accepted for the Lord's service and not for one's personal sense gratification. If one accepts something without attachment and accepts it because it is related to Krishna, one's renunciation is called yukta vairagyam. Whatever is favorable for the rendering of service to the Lord should be accepted and should not be rejected as a material thing. So this philosophy, we can say it's just philosophy, and oh, who wants to hear just philosophy, more philosophy, philosophy coming out of our ears. But this philosophy is so liberating. It gives freedom because it allows everything. It not only allows, but it demands everything be used in Krishna's service. Nothing be rejected. Everything be used in Krishna's service. And this, Srila Prabhupada said that, this was the gift of my Guru Maharaj. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Once Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was, someone suggested that if we use something, it was quite extraordinary. He said that in preaching in the Western countries, if required, we'll cook them meat in the beginning. If the Westerners won't eat anything but meat, and if it will take them eating meat to chant Hare Krishna, we'll allow them to eat meat. So much faith on one hand in the holy name, that after chanting, then that desire and need will go away. But on the other hand, one of his disciples approached him gently and submissively and said, but if we serve them meat, won't we become criticized? And Bhakti Saraswati Thakur's reply was something to the effect of, thousands of lives ago, I have resolved that everything for Krishna, everything for Krishna, no consideration, everything for Krishna. And indeed, that's how Prabhupada very simply replied to the question of what does surrender mean. Everything for Krishna. If it's going to be pleasing to Krishna, then whatever it appears to others, we do it. So very, 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 very wonderful, complete surrender. But no cheating. This is for Krishna, but me taking what Prabhupada once referred to as drinking water underwater on a fast day. You tell everyone, oh, I'm fasting, I'm not taking any water, I'm not taking any food. And then when you're bathing in the Ganges, you're dipping yourself under the water, and while you're under the water, you're drinking. And no one can see. Lord's service, and not for one's personal sense gratification. If one accepts something without attachment and accepts it because it is related to Krishna, one's renunciation is called yuktam bhairagyam. Whatever is favorable for the rendering of service to the Lord should be accepted and should not be rejected as a material thing. The jagat, the universe, should not be rejected as mithya, as false illusion. It is truth, and the truth is realized when everything is engaged in the service of the Lord. A flower accepted for one's sense gratification is material. But when the same flower is offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead by a devotee, it is spiritual. Food taken and cooked for oneself is material, but food cooked for the Supreme Lord is spiritual, prasad. This is a question of realization. Actually, everything is given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore everything is spiritual. But those who are not advanced in proper knowledge make distinctions because of the interactions of the three modes of material nature. In this regard, Srila Jiva Goswami says that although the sun is only light, is the only light, the sunshine, which is exhibited in seven colors, and darkness, which is the absence of sunshine, are not different from the sun. For without the existence of the sun, such differentiations cannot exist. So their existence is dependent on the existence of the sun. Even darkness, the absence of sun, is dependent. It's a dependent truth. Darkness doesn't exist without sun. As light cannot exist without sun, darkness cannot exist. There may be varied nomenclatures because of different conditions, different manifestations. So we say, what is darkness? How do we define darkness? The absence of sun. So even sun is required in the definition of darkness. There may be varied nomenclatures because of different conditions, but they are all the sun. The Puranas therefore say, Ekadeshe stitas yagnir jyotsna vistarini Yata parasya brahmana shakti tatedam akilam jagat. Just as the illumination of a fire which is situated in one place is spread all over, the energies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Parabrahman, are spread all over the universe from the Vishnu Purana. Materially, we can directly perceive the sunshine spreading itself according to different names and activities, but ultimately, the sun is one. Similarly, sarvam kalavidam brahma. Everything is an expansion of the Supreme Brahman. Therefore, the Supreme Lord is everything, and He is one without differentiation. There is no existence separate from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So very strong purports and directive meant to be applied. Text 9. Lord Shiva's prayers continue. Those who are known as the impersonal Vedantists regard you as the impersonal Brahman. So according to the methodology one is practicing, one achieves a realization of that same Brahman. Others known as the Mimamsaka philosophers regard you as religion. They follow the Vedas strictly. The Sankhya philosophers regard you as the transcendental person who is beyond Prakriti and Purusha, and who is the controller of even the demigods, the Supersoul. We meditate on the Supersoul. The followers of the codes of devotional service, known as the Pancharatras, regard you as being endowed with 9 different potencies. And the Pantanjali philosophers, the followers of Pantanjali Muni, regard you as the supreme independent personality of Godhead, who is no equal or superior. Text 10. O my Lord, I, who am considered to be the best of the demigods. Who is speaking? Lord Shiva. And Lord Brahma, and the great rishis headed by Marichi, are born of the mode of goodness. Nonetheless, we are bewildered by your illusory energy and cannot understand what this creation is. Aside from us, what is to be said of others, like the demons and human beings who are in the base modes of material nature, Rajagun and Tamagun? How will they know you? So everything is the Lord and nothing is different from Him, but we don't see like that. Why? It's due to illusion. And what is illusion? The three modes of material nature. So even if one is in the pure mode of goodness, once, as Lord Shiva is saying, we still cannot know you. What to speak of us who have possibly slight tinges of passion and ignorance? Prabhupada's purport. Factually speaking, even those who are situated in the material mode of goodness cannot understand the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What then is to be said of those who are situated in Rajagun and Tamagun, the base qualities of material nature? How can we even imagine the Supreme Personality of Godhead? He's so beyond the pale of the material world. There are so many philosophers trying to understand the absolute truth, but since they are situated in the base qualities of material nature and are addicted to so many bad habits like drinking, meat-eating, illicit sex, and gambling, how can they conceive of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? For them, it is impossible, because one's consciousness must be clear to understand something so wonderful. Fully clear, not contaminated, what to speak of by passion and ignorance, even by goodness. For them, it is impossible. For the present day, the Pancharatriki Vidhi, as enunciated by Narada Muni, is the only hope. Sri Rupa Goswami, therefore, has quoted the following verse from the Brahma Jamala. Shruti Smriti Puranadi Pancharatra Vidim Vina Aikantiki Hare Bhaktir Utpatayaiva Kalpate. Devotional service of the Lord that ignores the authorized Vedic literatures like the Upanishads, Puranas, and Narada Pancharatra is simply an unnecessary disturbance in society. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Those who are very advanced in knowledge and are situated in the mode of goodness follow the Vedic instructions of the Shruti and Smriti and other religious scriptures, including the Pancharatriki Vidhi. Without understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead in this way, one only creates a disturbance. In this age of Kali, so many gurus have sprung up. And because they do not refer to the Shruti, Smriti, Puranadi, Pancharatrika Vidhi, they're creating a great disturbance in the world in regard to understanding the absolute truth. However, those who follow the Pancharatriki Vidhi under the guidance of a proper spiritual master can understand the absolute truth. It is said, Pancharatrasya Kritsnasya Vakta Tu Bhagavan Sayam. The Pancharatrika system is spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, just like the Bhagavad Gita. Vasudeva Sarana Vidur Agyasaiva. The truth can be understood only by one who has taken shelter of the lotus feet of Vasudeva. Then the Bhagavad Gita verse, Prabhupada quotes, Bahunam Dharmanante Gyanavamam Prapadyante Vasudeva Savamiti Samahamasadolava. After many, many births and deaths, he who is actually in knowledge surrenders unto me, knowing me to be the cause of all causes and all that is. Such a great soul is very rare. Only those who have surrendered to the lotus feet of Vasudeva can understand the absolute truth. Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojitaha Gyani Yatire Yasu Vairagyam Gyanam Chayara Haitukam. By rendering devotional service unto the Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, one immediately acquires causeless knowledge and detachment from the world. Gyanayat Yasu Vairagyam. Asu also means quickly. Quickly, easily, immediately. So the more the devotion increases, actual rendering of devotional service, then detached from the material world, spiritual infusion of knowledge. Therefore, Bhagavan Sri Krishna personally teaches in Bhagavad Gita, Savadamam Pratyajam Amekam Sharanam Braja. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. Give ourselves to Krishna. I am yours, Krishna. Bhakti mam abhijananti yavanyas chasmi tatvata. One can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead as He is only by devotional service. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is not properly understood even by Lord Shiva or Lord Brahma, what to speak of others. But He can be understood by the process of Bhakti Yoga. Maya shakta manaparta yogam yundar marashraya asam sayam samagram mam yatag yagyasyasi tatranu. If one practices Bhakti Yoga by taking shelter of Vasudev Krishna, simply by hearing Vasudev speak about himself, one can understand everything about him. Indeed, one can understand him completely. Samagram. So, on one hand, so difficult, impossible to understand him fully, actually, completely, in truth. But by practicing the proper vidhi, pancharatriki vidhi, one can understand him. And then, as one is purified by hearing about him, one will understand him fully because he is speaking about himself. Otherwise, by our own potency powers, we cannot. Text 11 and 12 will be the last ones we'll read. My Lord, you are the supreme knowledge personified. You know everything about this creation and its beginning, maintenance, and annihilation. And you know all the endeavors made by the living entities by which they are either implicated in this material world or liberated from it. Krishna knows all. As the air enters the vast sky and also enters the bodies of all moving and non-moving entities, you are present everywhere, and therefore you are the knower of all. So He is present everywhere. He knows everything. He knows everything that everyone does, thinks, everything. Good things, He's Suryadam Savabhutanam. He's our best friend. Good thing, because He knows everything, inside and out. Our sincerities, our insincerities, everything. As Prabhupada says, even although Govinda is always present in his abode, Goloka Eva Nivasati, he is simultaneously present everywhere. Nothing is unknown to him, and nothing can be hidden from him. And the final verse we'll read today. My Lord, I've seen all kinds of incarnations now. He's requesting. You're so powerful. Because it's very important before we're going to see Lord Shiva deal with Mohini Murti, or rather Mohini Murti deal with Lord Shiva. So it is very important that we remember Lord Shiva's prayers. Because even Lord Shiva, he knows the Lord, but he's going to get completely bewildered by this incredibly potent form of the Lord Mohini Murti. So now he's going to say to the Lord what he desires. I've seen all kinds of incarnations you have exhibited by your transcendental qualities, and now you have appeared as a beautiful young woman. I want to see that form of your lordship. Purpose, short purport. When Lord Shiva approached Lord Vishnu inquired about the purpose for Lord Shiva's coming there. Now Lord Shiva discloses his desire. He wanted to see the recent incarnation of Mohini Murti, which Lord Vishnu had assumed to distribute the nectar generated from the churning of the ocean of milk. 13. My Lord, we have come here desiring to see that form of your lordship which you showed to the demons to captivate them completely and in this way enable the demigods to drink nectar. I am very eager to see that form. And now the Lord is going to reply and show him his form of Mohini Murti. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Lord Shiva ki jai. And Lord Vishnu ki jai. And Mohini Murti ki jai. Vandana Kalpa Chubhya Jai Kripa Sanjay Vandana Kalpa Chubhya.